I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you might know this, but I am a klutz. I've been a klutz for a long time. If anyone's seen me walk, I would not be a runway model. When I walk in the wintertime, you will see me walk like this, like a penguin, so that I don't fall. I hated, when I was growing up in elementary school, I hated physical education. Because at that time, the teachers would have us play games, team sports, relay races, baseball games. And what they would do is divide us up into two groups. They'd have team leaders. I was never asked to be a team leader. And each team leader would get to choose their team. You know where this is going. So people would be getting called. I was never the first one to be called or the second. And I tried to hang back and hoped that there would be an odd number and I could sit out the game. But that never seemed to happen. And the people knew that if Dawn got on a team, we were bound to lose. Now, I tried my best. I would stand there, you know, in a baseball stance and swing with all my might and miss. If I happened to get on a base, it was because I was walked. And if I happened to be walked to a base, they were sure to get me out when I tried to run to the next one. Relay races, oh, it was bad. If I could drop something, if I had to hold on to something, it dropped. Boy, did I not like being in physical education. It even happened in high school. And so in high school, it's a wonder that I passed any class because I would come to gym without the proper clothing on to get out of team sports. Some of you might relate to that. My husband couldn't. He was a soccer coach when I met him. He had no way of relating. But I can relate quite well to the people in this passage that Jesus talked about who were the 5 o'clock workers. I understand them. You see, the people that came early in the morning, they probably all came early. These were migrant workers. These were people who were dangling at the bottom of the food chain. If you were a slave in those days, you at least knew where your next meal was coming from. Servants of householders had steady employment, but migrant workers did not, and they would gather in the marketplace hoping to get a job so they could feed their family for the day. And the people who were picked first, you know that they had to be those who were really athletic, who looked great, who were strong, who looked like they could do the work. So when the prospective employers came, they would pick all the strong guys first, you know, the beefy ones, the guys that looked like they could pull their weight. And so the landowner went and pulled all these guys out, and they started. Now, these were also the people who were the go-getters because they sat down with the landowner before they started, and they negotiated for a wage. Because they wanted an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. So the 6 a.m.ers went. Well, the landowner figured out that he needed more people, so he went back at 9 o'clock, he went back at 12, he went back at 3, and I'm sure each time the pickings got a little slimmer. But then this landowner went out at 5 o'clock, 1 hour before closing, and there were still stragglers. No other employer had picked them up for the day. You can imagine the shape of these people. These are what I would call the sick, lame, and lazy. These were the people whom nobody wanted. Maybe they were scrawny. Maybe they just didn't look right. Something was wrong with them that every other employer would not take them. And so when the landowner saw them, he didn't even negotiate a wage. He didn't even tell them that they were going to get paid. All he said was, I'm going to take you to the vineyard. Go work in my vineyard. And they happily did so. I'm sure they were thinking, Even if this guy gives us a few pennies, we can come home not empty-handed. I'm sure he's not going to give us much, but maybe there'll be something in it for us. So they went and they labored in the vineyard. Now, I am sure that even though they were thrilled to have work, they probably couldn't do the job that the early guys had done. They probably did not have the same skill level and the same stamina. But at the end of the day, when all accounts were settled and they were the first ones in line, not because they pushed their way in, but the landowner said, you make sure they're first. And they look in their hands and they were given a full day's wage. Can you imagine the joy of these people that this owner wasn't fair with them? He was more than fair. He was generous with them. And so they could go home and feed their family that day. So then when the rest of them came, they thought, hey, if these guys who only worked an hour are getting a full day's wage, we're going to get a bonus. And so they came up expecting something more, and they were just given a full day's wage. Now, it wasn't unfair. That's what they negotiated for, but boy, were they unhappy because they said that wasn't fair. You made them equal to us. They begrudged his generosity. I think this is a wonderful story for us today. In our dealings, it's not enough if we name the name of Christ to be just, to be fair. God wants us to be more than fair. That's what grace is all about. You saw that in the first story of Jonah, when Jonah was so unhappy with God because God was ready to smite the people of Nineveh, and Jonah wanted him to do that. These were bad people. These were called the bullies of the Middle East. Nobody liked the people of Nineveh. They were rotten to the core, and they had done some terrible things, and they deserved to be annihilated. And God said, I'll give them one more chance. I will be more than fair. And Jonah didn't like that. Can we be more than fair in our lives? The people who don't seem to be able to contribute anything, if we just give them a chance, you never know what can come of that. I thought of a modern day example. In Maryland, there was a young boy that was born who was defective. And by defective, I mean he was given a time limit. His parents were told he might have 3 or 4 years to live. This was the fourth child of this couple, and each child had a time limit. They did not realize until she was pregnant with number four that this was a genetic thing and that number four was going to be as sick as the first three. And so the doctor said, you really should not bring this child into this world. And mom also had the genetic defect. But she felt that she wanted to give this child a chance to live, no matter how long or short his life was to be. And so she brought the fourth one into this world. Now, she was quite a burden on the medical system, as was this child. There were many hospitalizations. Dad could not handle it anymore, so Dad left. And she was left, sick as she was, with a sick child. And so they were dependent on the compassion of others, and it was a very compassionate community. There was a food pantry there, and they utilized the food pantry. I'm sure she had Medicaid because she could not work, so she was reliant on Medicaid and any kind of resource that life could give to her. Now, as this boy grew, he was a very precocious child. At 3 years old, he began to write poetry. And he was brilliant. He had brilliant poems that he and his mom read and maybe some of his church members read. They could tell he was a very, very bright child. But they knew that he wasn't going to live too long, and they asked him what his wishes were. And he went through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he wished for two things. First, he wanted to meet his childhood hero, because this little boy was a peacemaker. So he wanted to meet Jimmy Carter. And the second thing he wanted to do is have his poems published. Well, somebody made that possible. They made it possible for him to meet Jimmy Carter and to have his poems published. Well, his poems didn't have a small audience. They had a huge audience. He appeared on Oprah Winfrey's show, and his poems are called Heart Songs. And some of you might have heard the name of the child. His name is Matty Stepanek. After his death, his mother wrote a book called Messenger that I still have in my office. Wonderful book. This child went on the world scene, and he would talk to people about peacemaking. And because people gave him an opportunity, he gave back so much. His life was packed with meaning. At his death, Oprah Winfrey was at his funeral, as well as Jimmy Carter. He used to sign books with Maya Angelou. This is the kind of kid he was. Sometimes when we are more than fair, the people that we help can give back so much more, like those workers in the vineyard at 5 o'clock in the evening. So in your commerce this week, if you're an employer, seek to be not only fair, but more than fair. In your dealings with other people this week, let us not only be just and right, but let us be more than fair. Let us overflow with the generosity of the Lord God of the universe, who loved us so much that he was more than fair. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your kindness. I thank you that your generosity has brought us to this place. And I ask, O Lord, that we as your people would be more than fair this week in all our dealings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.